connected. There are people right now that are lonely, of course, and we want to do our best to reach out to them and stay connected during this season. But we do wish you a very Merry Christmas. We want to say to our church family, from my wife and myself, thank you for the gift that you gave us Sunday morning. This past Sunday, we were able to have some in-person meetings here Sunday, and with all of you that made it out, we had a great service, and we want to thank you for recognizing us, the gifts that you gave us, just so special, and we sure do appreciate all of that. Thank you for that. Let's get into the Word. I'm going to ask you to go with us to the Gospel of John, chapter 3, very familiar scripture to all of us Christians, chapter 3 and verse 16 of the Gospel of John. John says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, the essence of the Christmas message, I believe, is concisely embodied in this very scripture, specifically borne out by three very powerful and compelling concepts that I want to delve into for just the next few minutes. First of all, the Bible says, "For God so loved." For God so loved. So at the bedrock of this Christmas message is love. It's the why. It's the how come. As one songwriter mused, "I don't know why Jesus loved me, but I'm glad he did." There's really no reason that makes sense to us. Another songwriter said, "For who am I that a king would bleed and die for?" When you try to figure out and understand just why he would do it, really the only reason, the driving force that brought about this amazing transaction of redemption, well, there's no other reason but he loves us. For God so loved the world. His love is a pretty remarkable thing. It's beyond our understanding. There's a few scriptures that help us to understand a little bit about his love. John 13:1 says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father," the Bible says, "having loved his own which were in the world." This is talking about Jesus and his disciples and the multitudes that followed him. The Bible says that he loved his own which were in the world. He loved them. Notice this. He loved them unto the end. I love that. He loved them all the way up to the end. His love is unfaltering. Now, human love can be a little fickle sometimes. And so there might be somebody who may love you today and not love you so much tomorrow, or they may love you as long as you're doing well or you're serving them, or whatever. Our love can have a lot of attachments to it, but the love of Jesus, the Bible says he loved them unto the end. It was an unfaltering and is an unfaltering love. Maybe I'm talking to somebody today that feels like nobody loves you or you just don't feel loved. But I want to assure you tonight that Jesus Christ loves you with an unfailing, unfaltering, unwavering love. And he loves you in spite of anything you've done and whatever you feel like you are or are not. He loves you. The Bible lets us know. And think about all of these people that were with him. It says he loved his own. He loved those that were with him, which were in the world. He loved them to the very end. Now, you know, in that crowd, there were people who were failures and sinners and imperfect. Of course there were. His love was not predicated on them being worthy of his love. The Bible says that while we were yet sinners, he loved us. He commended his love toward us. He died for us. We didn't do anything to earn it. So thank God for his unfaltering love. John 15:13, John says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." I love that scripture. So his love, Jesus' love, is a self-sacrificial love. Think about that. that he gave his own life for us. He laid down his life for us. His love is a self-sacrificial love. Romans 8:35, I like what Paul says. Paul says in Romans 8:35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution? How about famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Verse 37, he answers the question, nay, no. Paul says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Think about that. Now, Paul's not just talking about us being conquerors. That's not the point of his letter here. The point of that scripture is through him that loved us. Where does our victory come from? What is the source of our being conquerors, more than conquerors? Well, we are through him that loved us. If he ever stops loving us, we're in trouble. If he ever stops loving us, we are failures. We will lose, and we will fall, and we will fall quickly. So Paul says, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. He says in verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things that are present, or things that are come, things that are already here, things that are going to be here, he says, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I want you to think about that love, the love of our God, that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. So his love is inseparable. It is inseparable. There is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. In other words, there is nothing living, breathing, dead. There's nothing that is present or shall come, Paul says, that can come between us, that could cause the love of our God to stop being poured out to us. So maybe there's somebody tonight, you feel like, oh, there's just something that's happened or something that's come between you and the Lord, and he could never love you anymore. I want to shatter that tonight. I want to come against that lying spirit of your enemy, the enemy of your soul, that would cause you to believe that there's no hope for you, that the Lord could not love you anymore. I want to tell you that you are inseparable from his love, and his love is inseparable from you. There is nothing, Paul says, that shall be able to separate us from the love of Christ. Thank God for that. Nothing, no tribulation, no distresses, no persecution, no famine, no nakedness, no peril, no sword, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. For God so loved that he gave his only begotten Son. So the first thing that I think is embodied, the Christmas message that's embodied in John 3:16 is love. The second thing is giving. He gave. The second principle is giving. And so think about that. Christmas really is a time where we especially think of giving. Now, I know when you're a child, you think about receiving. But you get to that age. My wife and I were talking the other day, and she said, you know, it's just really neat. She said how... When I was a kid, she said, I thought about the things that I was getting. She said, but I don't even really think that much about when Christmas is here about getting anything. It's just about, she said, I love to watch people open their gifts that I've bought them. So she relishes in watching her grandchildren open those presents. Now, in our home, when our kids come over and their kids come over, and we have our traditions just like many of you do, our children and their children come over on Christmas morning. My wife usually prepares a brunch or something to eat, and then we open our presents. Now, maybe in your home, everybody just digs in and opens their presents all at once. But that's not the way it happens at our house, because my wife has a rule. And the rule is we open our presents one at a time. We go around the room. We start with the youngest, and we go to the oldest, and everybody's got so many gifts to open, we make our round. And everybody watches that person open their gift. Now, that might sound a little bit strange to you, but what it does, it allows everybody to see what everybody's got. But the real thing is she loves to watch everybody open that gift that she has given them. And if that's true for my wife and that's true for us as humans, think about how the Lord feels when we receive the most precious gift ever given to man. When we receive that from Him, He pleasures in giving us good things. He pleasures in giving us gifts. He so loved us that He gave. The best gift that has ever been given came from the Lord. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. So He gave the ultimate gift. Now what do we do when we're exchanging gifts during this season? Well, we give to others to reflect that love of God. So this is not just about, if you watch Hallmark movies or you read Christmas books or whatever, a lot of people, when they talk about the true meaning of Christmas, I hear them talk about that nowadays. Well, let's talk about the true meaning of Christmas. And they never get around, hardly ever, to the true meaning of Christmas, because they usually talk about mushy things like it's a time of love and it's a time of giving and it's a time of, remembering those that are less fortunate. That's all true. But that's not the true meaning of Christmas. It's not about us giving gifts. The true meaning of Christmas is we understand that God so loved the world that He gave. He gave first, and He gave His only begotten Son. What we do here, giving gifts, is just a reflection of what He's done. And it should be kept in that context. So please, as you exchange gifts, that's all well and proper. I love to give gifts, and I don't hate getting gifts either. But as you do that this Christmas season, and especially this year, wouldn't it be nice to just pause and remind everybody, the best gift ever given was given by our Lord, our Savior. And what we're doing here today as we open our gifts, let's remember what Christ did for us. That's really what it's all about. He gave. He gave. Watch this. That we should have everlasting life. That none should perish. Whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So, love, giving, and then life, that we should have everlasting life. So that's the result of His gift, that we should have life. He gave His Son that we should have life. John 10:10 says, Jesus says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus says, I am come that they might have life, hallelujah, and that they might have it more abundantly. What is the purpose? What is the meaning of Christmas? It's about the fact that we were sinners. We were spiritually dead. We were on our way to devil's hell. And here comes Jesus and gives to us the precious gift of eternal life. He says, I've come that they might have life, that you and I would have life. Now, let me just tell you, in a world that has somehow gravitated through time to be very much a culture of death. Now, I don't have time to go into what I really mean there, but when we live in a country of the free and the brave who every year abort babies by the tens and tens and tens of thousands, that's a culture of death. When we live in that culture, when we live in a day, especially today, when everybody's talking about fear and misery and depression and suicide and death, yes, we are in the midst of a culture of death. But that's not what Christ is about, and that's not what the church is about, and that's not what the gospel message is about. Jesus Christ showed up in the middle of a culture of death. Well, what do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, think about this. Every time something spectacular has happened in this world, it happened in a culture of death. Moses was born when they were killing all the babies. The male babies of the Hebrews were being killed, thrown in the river, and Moses shows up. What happened with Jesus? Jesus was born in a culture of death. Herod had decreed that all the male babies be killed, trying to kill this Messiah. But Jesus was not killed as a baby. Amen. What's happening today? We're in a culture of death. Even today, babies are being killed before they're ever drawing their first breath. What's happening? Jesus is about to come back. But we live in an age, even though there's death all around us, there's life. That's what the gospel message is about. For God so loved the world that he came, he gave his only begotten son, so that if we believe in him, we don't have to perish, but we will have everlasting life. Then Jesus says, look, the thief comes to kill. The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. He wants to bring you a culture of loss and destruction and death. But he said, I've come to turn that culture around. I've come to be a light in that dark world, that dark culture. And here comes life piercing through so that we not only will live, but live more abundantly. Watch what John says later on in verse 27 of chapter 10. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. Eternal life. And they shall never perish. Hallelujah. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Jesus says, what I've come to do, I've established it. It's an established work. And there's no one who can pluck my people out of my hand. What did he come to do? To give us eternal life. So let me say this about life that Jesus has come to give us. First of all, he'll turn your life around. Maybe you're watching this tonight or sometime in the future. Maybe you're watching this and your life is not what you want it to be. Maybe you're hurting. Maybe you're at loss. Maybe you're struggling, whatever. Can I just tell you that Jesus, first of all, he loves you. Secondly, I want to tell you he gave his life for you. And thirdly, that he did that so you could have life. He will turn your life around. That's why we call our church Turning Point, because Christ is the turning point that this world is searching for. When you find Jesus, he will turn your life around. You can point on the calendar to a date when your life turned around, when you went from death to life. And he gave you eternal life. So this is about, yes, life more abundantly here. He wants you to have life more abundantly here. But the ultimate reward of being a Christian is that we're going to have eternal life with Jesus. Spurgeon says that the worst thing that can happen to a Christian is also the best thing that can happen to a Christian, which is to lose our life. If we die here, yeah, that's the worst thing that can happen to us here. But it's also the best thing that can happen to us in the realm of eternity, because when we draw our last breath on this earth, we'll draw our next spiritual breath in eternity. For a Christian, that's good news. Amen. If you're not ready, listen to me. If you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, the most important thing you will do this Christmas season is not buy a gift or get a gift. It's not a vaccine. It's not getting through COVID. The best thing, the most important thing you will do this Christmas season is to get to know Jesus. And you do that, the Bible says, by repenting of your sins, being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. That's right, to be submerged in water. Buried in his name, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission. That means the removal, the washing away of your sins. And Peter went on to say in Acts 2:38, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. That promise is for everyone. You say, it's that simple, Brother Hawkins? It really is. We make it more difficult. We just can't accept the simplicity of it. But it really, Jesus didn't come to make a difficult way to be saved. He came to make a simple plan, the simple plan of repenting of our sins, to tell God, I'm sorry, Lord. I want you to forgive me of my sins, to be baptized. You get in the water and let somebody baptize you in Jesus' name. And you don't even have to get the Holy Ghost. You just receive it because it's a gift. And once that happens, you've experienced what Jesus calls the new birth, being born again of water right there in that tank, wherever you are, whatever water you can get in. Amen. And the Spirit, the receiving of the gift of the Holy Ghost. And when you've done that, listen to me, you can go to sleep at night and not worry, because if the rapture takes place, and it's going to take place not very far away, folks, it's upon us. And if the rapture takes place, you're going out of this world. If you die, you're going on to see the Lord. Amen. So make your calling and election sure. Make sure you're ready. It's the most important thing you'll do this Christmas season is to appropriate, receive the gift that he gave you. Amen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Merry Christmas to you. Thank you so much for joining us. Our next live stream will be Sunday morning at 10 a.m. We'll only have a live stream service this Sunday. We have no in-person service this Sunday nor the next Sunday. Y'all have a great week. Have a great Christmas. And we'll see you next time. God bless.